to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, which will be our text of study today. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Today's sermon is a follow-up on last week's sermon, where we discussed domestic violence, and we learned what verse 22 is all about when it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." If you were not here to hear that sermon, you can download it off of our website, or you can get a copy of it at the desk over here on my left as you walk out. We've had a lot of people respond to it. They found it very positive and helpful. If you know of anybody that is suffering from domestic violence, it should be helpful for them. So today we're going to look at husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Now, men, we often get sermons against us, and you may be getting used to being the problem. But next week, we're going to have a sermon on wives loving their husbands. So, fair is fair. And we will stick to the Bible and see what we can learn. But loving a woman is not easy. She's a complicated creature. So complicated, in fact, she doesn't even understand herself. And a man who has a hard time comprehending this has a hard time loving his wife. Now, there was a fella, he was a Christian man, and he recognized he was deficient in his ability to love his wife. The church had a seminar about marriage, and he attended every single meeting, and he was so enthusiastic about it. He learned a couple things that were changing his whole perspective. One of the things he learned is that occasions are very important to women. An anniversary overlooked is painful to a woman. A birthday not recognized is painful to a woman. So he determined whenever there's an occasion, he would be right on top of it. He was going to be the godly husband that they talked about in the seminar. He also learned that men don't listen very well, that they simply don't hear what their wives are saying. So he was determined. He's going to listen to his wife. He's going to get on her agenda and help her know that she is loved. Well, the day came. It was a perfect day. It was her birthday. And as they laid together in bed, just waking up, he said to her, "Honey, today's your birthday. If you could have anything you wanted, what would it be?" She said, "I'd like to be six again." With that, he jumped into action. He hustled her off to the carnival, and they rode rides all day. He stuffed her full of hot dogs, pretzels, cotton candy, and they had a ball every single ride, up and down and around and around. And after that, he took her to an animated Disney movie, gave her a great big bucket of popcorn and a super-sized soft drink, and just stuffed that lady. And when it was all over, they were lying in bed, and he said to her, just as proud as could be, "How did it feel to be six again?" She said, "I meant size six, you idiot." Loving a woman is complicated. The Bible doesn't provide a technique. You will not read in scriptures about flowers given to the wife, cards unexpected placed in the table, on the table. You don't read about technique. You don't read about method. But the Bible gives substance and direction regarding love. And that's what we're going to look at today. Because this applies to us, and we will figure out how to put it into our certain circumstances. Ephesians 5:25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So a husband, as we learned last week, is to minister. A husband is to minister to his wife as Jesus ministers to the church. And Jesus ministers to the church for the purpose of helping the church to become all God created it to be. So a loving, godly husband does not suppress his wife, does not beat her down, but lifts her up and encourages her so that she will be satisfied that she is successful and doing the best that she can. But there's something important to note here. Jesus loves the church. But what is the church? The church is sinful. The church is not perfect. And even though Jesus' love is perfect, the church does not respond perfectly to perfect love. The church struggles. It's up, it's down. And that's the way it is with a woman or with any human being, because we have a sinful nature. And so, husbands, let's get one thing settled right now. Though you told her she was perfect, it's not true. There is no perfect wife. They're all imperfect, sinful human beings, just like their husbands. In fact, Jesus goes so far as to say, angels don't marry. So we like to call them angels, but they are troubled human beings just like we are. And Jesus doesn't indulge the church, fanning the desires of selfishness. This is not a picture of a beaten down man living with a diva who sits on her throne saying, "Do this, do that, do this, do that. Yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear." That's not the picture. Jesus doesn't love us that way, doesn't love the church that way, doesn't indulge our selfish desires. Now, I've quizzed a number of men this week in preparation for today's sermon. I said, "You know, the Bible talks about godly husbands. My sermon topic is about being a happy husband. What would you say is the key to being a happy husband?" Generally, the response has been along these lines: happy wife, happy life. Do you know that's not true? It's not biblical either. Just because a woman is happy, it doesn't mean the husband is happy. In fact, truth be told, there is no human being that can make another human being happy. The wife can't make the husband happy, and the husband can't make the wife happy. That's a totally unrealistic expectation. Only God can make a person happy, and a person can only be happy when they are serving God. Happy husbands are those men who have Jesus in their heart, and they're seeking to minister to their wives in the context that they are doing it in their service to God. And it is God that they're at peace with, and it is God who is giving them a sense of well-being and happiness. Does that make sense? It's very important. Because your wife cannot make you happy. So don't expect it and don't blame her. And wives, your husband can't make you happy. Don't expect it and don't blame him. Happiness only comes when we're at peace with God. So Jesus, the standard, was willing to die for the church. Now, husband is willing to step aside from himself in order to love his wife. It does not diminish him. It strengthens him because he is doing this in service to God. It brings out the noble aspects of his character and develops within him what God wants him to be. In Ephesians chapter 4, when we look for substance and direction, we have general principles about Christianity. And really, that's what we need to know as husbands. What is it to be a Christian? Because if I don't know what it is to be a Christian, I'm not going to be able to serve God by serving my family. So let's look at this. And of course, this will apply to everybody, but we're talking about men today. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now this verse in Good News Translation says this: get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Bitterness, wrath, anger, loud quarreling, and evil speaking must be put away from you. Do you notice it says, put away? That means it's a choice. Have you ever talked to somebody who said they have an uncontrollable temper? Do you know there's no such thing? Temper is controllable. It's directed at the object we want it to be directed at. I guarantee you, unless somebody has a mental illness, they do not go off on the judge they're standing before. When the police officer pulls them over, you're an absolute moron if you go off on the police officer. Even the most short-fused people know there's a time to be quiet, and they choose to be when they perceive that they should be. So all these things are a choice. Granted, you cannot do this without Christ in your heart. But it's a choice whether you follow Christ in your heart or not. One of the keys for a happy relationship is found in the communication that takes place between the two people. And we're just finding it as two people in this illustration. There is no relationship that survives acid, acrimony, and hatred in speech. Just doesn't work. Words hurt, and words wound. Words can even kill the spirit. Words are awful sometimes. And when the scrunched up face of hatred is behind it and somebody's being pounded with awful, let me tell you, that's hard to overcome. It's hard to get out of your minds. Paul says, put that away. Don't do that. One of the things everybody can choose, if you're married or expect to be married, then just choose right now. You are not going to say hurtful, hateful things to the person you're married to. You're just not going to do it. You may think it, but you're not going to say it. You're simply not going there. Every home that is successful has its pain. Every home that is successful has its failure. But every home that is successful is a home that has learned not to purposely hurt the other person. Did you catch the word? Purposely hurt the other person. You may be happily married and walk out here and say something that's your spouse. You might have meant, I hope you didn't, but it can happen. What's awful is when we contemplate what we say to repound. Men, don't do that. That's not serving God. That's not being a Christian man. That's not ministering to the wife or to the children that God's given you. So it goes on in verse 32. The Apostle Paul says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just God in Christ also forgive you. Now this word kind in the Greek, it's not often used in the New Testament. It's a sport. It means to be affectionate, to be loving. to be of a sympathetic nature, disposed to be helpful. Now, I've been looking and I've never found anywhere in recorded history where a wife killed her husband while he was doing the dishes. To be kind, disposed to be helpful, caring. That's a choice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, it's compassionate, understanding, big-hearted, loving-hearted, trying to understand things from their perspective, getting in their shoes, if you will, even if they're high heels. Our women are beat down every day in ways we husbands don't realize. There are image issues, there are sense of fear issues, there are fear issues. These dear women carry life in a very heavy and painful way. And when the husband comes home and he is not kind, you are doing awful damage to another human being. And God says, love her like Jesus loves the church. Build her. Jesus does not stand around pointing out every fault in our lives. I don't know how a woman could live with a husband who does that, nor a husband if a woman is doing that. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and there was a man who is a counselor. It was a Christian radio station. He's a counselor, and he was describing a process that he uses when he's counseling a couple who is having problems in marriage. He gives them a couple sheets of paper, a pen or a pencil, divides them up into separate rooms, tells them to write down everything that is wrong about their spouse. He gives them 10 minutes. They come back to the room together. He reads the list that each other have written about the other one. And he said, usually the lists are substantial, comprehensive, a lot of stuff. Then he gives them a couple sheets of paper, pencil and pen, sends them back to where they were, and he says, now, write down your faults in the marriage. He said every person will come up with at least one. Very, very few people get up to three. They struggle to find two. And three is rare. How can that be? How come it's always the other person's fault? So this being kind and tender-hearted is looking at life through her eyes. Seeing the monster that might be sitting across the table, and that monster is you. And loving husbands, godly husbands, men ministering to their wives are not fault finders. Love covers sin. There's good in that woman. Build on it. Same author writes in the book of Colossians a section very similar to this, but he mentions something that will be very helpful to us. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, as those redeemed by God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Now, the phrase put on is used several times by the Apostle Paul in Philippians. And he's talking about putting on Jesus like a coat. You put him on like a coat. That's how close you are. You put on Jesus. Notice, everything he's going to say is the choice of the person. So a person is accepted by God through Christ. And they're to put on tender mercies. That's a choice. They're to put on kindness. That's a choice. They're to put on humbleness of mind. That's a choice. Meekness, long-suffering, that is patience. All these things are putting on or taking on the likeness of Jesus. All of them are a choice. I reiterate, we cannot do these without God's grace, but we will never do these without choosing. Do you understand? It goes on. Verse 13, it says, bearing with one another. Well, there's a positive phrase. Bearing with one another? That's describing bearing with one another. That means sometimes it's hard to be with each other. It's true. Two sinful people under the same roof, inmates in the same institution. It's hard to bear with one another sometimes. But do it. How? Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Unfortunately, marriage in some homes is a little bit of an old Western movie gunfight. He said, pow, she said, pow. He said, pow, she said, pow. Try to be right. I'm going to win this argument. Let me tell you, the goal is not to win an argument. The goal is not even to be right. The goal is to love and forgive. The relationship is the goal. Put on, goes to say in verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The bond of perfection means the glue of maturity. The glue that holds a relationship together is love. Love that is forgiving. Love that doesn't keep score. By the way, in your home, who won last week? You or her? It's not a contest. The goal for a man walking with God is to minister to his wife in service to God. That's what it's about. Not being right, not putting her right, not winning the argument, not any of that. It is learning to put on Christ and demonstrating that through forgiveness, through kindness, through tenderness, through humbleness of mind, meekness, and patience. All of these things are a choice as we are in Christ. In verse 17 it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. How do you love a woman? You love a woman by praying a lot, asking for Jesus to be by your side, so that whatever's said, whatever's done, whatever's not said, whatever's not done, is pleasing to the Lord who is by my side. That's how you love a woman. And it goes on to say, wives submit, husbands love, children obey, servants obey. Verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Husband, you are not to love your wife to receive anything from it. You are to love your wife because that is the role God has called you to, and your service to God is where you'll have your happiness. You think about it. If we as husbands love our wives in order to get something back, we really have diminished them as a person. We might as well have a pet dog. Well, think about it. Why do we pet dogs? Well, someone could say they're soft. Okay, well then buy a stuffed toy. Why do we pet dogs? They're affectionate. They give back. If we're loving our wives so we get something in return, just get a dog. Because it's an ungodly process. Jesus loves because he loves. The church doesn't always give back. Don't love anticipating you're going to get something back. That's not love. That's manipulation. Bring the flowers in, box of candy, and saying, hey, honey, you know, that ought to do it, huh? You love because it is a ministry to God. Well, what do we do with this? Well, verse 24 says there's a reward. You do this heartily, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands will be happy when they serve God. Serving God in the home is the highest calling a man is given. He is to minister to his wife and to his children. The husband is to be kind, tender-hearted, and caring. Loud quarreling, accusing, and bitterness are not to be part of his behavior. By serving God, a husband will be at peace with God. And by serving God, a husband will find happiness in his heart. And the love that the husband shares will be the glue that holds the relationship together. So much more to say, but enough for today. Ladies, I look forward to seeing you next week, when we're going to get real serious. Most of you already recognize what's been taught today is basic Christianity and applies across the board in all relationships. But today, I've spoken to the men. And I am going to make a specific call today. And that is this. If there is any man who is married that is here today that would like to say to God, I want to be a godly husband. I'm not saying you haven't been. I'm not saying you're awful. I'm just saying if you want to say to God, you want to be a godly husband, I want you to come down here and stand on the stage because I'm going to pray for you. Yep, come right up here. We have some more coming, so we'll... We're going to pray now. Father in heaven, we're husbands. We've been called to the ministry. And our wives and children are our congregation. We confess, Lord, that we're not perfect. We try, and we've failed. Thank you for your forgiveness. We pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, and by your grace, through your strength, may we choose to walk with you and love our wives and our children the way you are calling us to do this. Please help us, God. We cannot do it without you. And we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give these guys another hand as they go back to their seats. God bless. Go back. And we're just all going to stand now as we have our closing song.